Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the home front. I have to tell you that so many things are going on. It's like when you want to reprogram your show, then all of a sudden your computer is not working. So it's like I had the cable people here this morning, and they were supposed to do something to fix my phone and my cable. So apparently now, again, it's something outside of my apartment. Isn't that wonderful? It's always, you know, at least it's not me this time. Is it me? Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's not me. I don't know. All I can say is that, of course, there's an issue. So I decided I'm going to sync my iPhone, and I can still hear the noise. It's more intermittent than steady and regular, but the guy was like, oh, they put the wrong size fitter on the outside of your apartment. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's the problem, that in 7 years after re-drilling the hole and rewiring my house, that's the problem that they keep coming up with. Well, whatever, whatever, Becky. That's all I can say. Anyway, so many things that are going on. It's like I wanted to reschedule the show, so I wasn't even going to do the show. I was going to just put on an older show, but, you know, what can I say? Anyway, so fall is finally here. We had some really beautiful Indian summer weather the last week or so, but the cold weather has arrived, and it's only going to get colder. Yeah. What can I say? So here it is, the end of October. God, I can't even believe it. And I think we're going to have a very cold Halloween. I'm not looking forward to that. It means that the scantily clad outfits are not going to be advisable unless you have a good warm winter coat. I don't know. And I don't want to wear a big warm winter coat for Halloween. It's been so many years since we've needed that. So many different things have happened over all the different Halloweens. It's like you think about Halloween, and all of a sudden it comes flooding in, all the various things, Sandy and, oh my God, way more things than that I could possibly shake a stick at and think about. But it's like I'm so undecided. I'm still so up in the air. I don't know what I want to do. And if I want to go somewhere, if I don't want to go somewhere, if I want to just chill out with friends, it's like, do I want to stay home? I have no idea. I'm like so seriously on the fence. I just don't know. So anyway, so tonight I have an art opening to go to, and I was able to get onto the list. So I had another thing that I was supposed to do at the Ritz, but this art show is kind of like a big deal, and I think that I'd rather go to the art show. And then there's another party that I'm invited to right after. So I think that sort of kind of answers those questions. So I called up Sprint, and I was telling them I was having a problem with my cell phone. Yeah, go figure. Don't laugh too hard. I know we're up to 105. But this time it's actually not me. There's an outage somewhere in my area. And if I don't put my phone on Wi-Fi in the house, apparently there's like no signal coming to my phone. So my phone will ring. I don't actually hear it. It'll ring once is what I've been told, and then it goes straight to voicemail. So a handful of my friends have been asking me, are you mad at me? Are you hanging up on me? And I'm like, no, I didn't even know that you called. So I thought that was kind of funny. Just a tiny tidbit. So last night I had an impromptu invitation to go and see Foreigner at Carnegie Hall. And I have to say, they really were spectacular. What a great show. What a great night. So dinner in one of my favorite restaurants, although it is touristy, but I still like it because where else can you have, you know, French food and sushi, Rue 57, right? So that was all spectacular. And Carnegie Hall is still so beautiful. It doesn't matter where I sit, whenever I go there, it's always just so mesmerizing. I really like it. So we were so close to the stage. We were in the first mezzanine on the side, like next to them. You could see everyone's face clearly. It was like so spectacular. And as I stated already, they were really spot on. There was like, I think it was like, what was it? They came out 40 years ago, 76. So I wasn't even in high school yet. I don't even think I was in junior high school yet. And so everybody that's there, they're way older. And I'm like, yeah, I was always a fan. I know all their songs and, you know, but it was so funny. It was like, I don't know, just the whole thing, seeing the type of crowd. And then a handful of people, like the last two songs, everybody stood up. Now, it was an unplugged show, so it wasn't like, you know, you're jamming, rocking away. Like, when I go to see Nine Inch Nails, it's like, I don't sit down. And this show, this performance, I think I stood maybe twice, maybe three times. And that was it. It was like, you're really not going to stand and jump around, because where the way the mezzanine is set up and the way you're seated, it's like there's nothing in front of you. So if you start, well, the way that I jump around and I dance, I could easily have fallen off the mezz. So I was in the front row of the mezzanine. So there's three rows in the mezzanine. They're all like loose chairs. They're beautiful chairs, but they're just put down. They're not like they're not bolted to the floor. So that was kind of cool. So and we had a pretty decent box of people, although it's all open. So you're like looking at everybody next to you. There's no barricades. There's no, you know, high wall. It's not like going to Madison Square Garden and sitting in a box, because the box is like, it's like encased. You're closed in. So you can do whatever you want. You're going to hit the box. You know, if you start jumping around like crazy and you lose your balance, you're going to hit the wall or the glass or whatever it is. And those boxes are really cool, but they're very far up. So you're like really above everything. I'd rather be closer than high up. Although high up you see a good view, but you're not... It's just not the same thing. I'm sure you understand. Anyway, so I guess that's the story. So this phone does definitely sound better. It's like I don't hear that thumping noise or the tapping or whatever the heck it was. It's very intermittent. So whatever this guy did, he kind of actually fixed the phone. So that's kind of a good thing. So I don't know. There's so many things to talk about, and I have to say I was trying to get online. So whatever he did with my cable box and my telephone, which you can still hear, it makes that noise, but it's like not as bad as it was. My internet is now quite slow. So here I am trying to do something else and not having any luck. So I was trying to get online, and now I can't even find, like, the space weather, you know. And I know that there were some kind of magnetic fields and stuff going on. But this doesn't surprise me, because anytime something else is going on, maybe this was it. So anytime anything else is going on and you try to figure it out, or you want to get in touch, or you want to look at something, you want to look something up, you just can't do it. There's no way. Nothing works perfectly. And in my world, electronically speaking, nothing ever works, period. So that was it. So, you know, for the past few years, I've been doing this HGTV giveaway thing, right? And, of course, obviously, I've never won the house, because I wouldn't be still living here if I won the house. But I do the form. Like, you just put in, you fill it out, and then every single day, you, for X amount of weeks, you put in your email. And so I've been doing this for a long, long, long time. And now the newest house that they have that they're giving away is in Michigan, Michigan. I used to go to Michigan all the time. Now, I have to say honestly, I really don't want to live in Michigan. Of all the places that I could think to live in, Michigan is not even like in the top 10 or top 15. So I'm applying anyway. I keep on, you know, submitting. Thing was that the house before the Michigan house was this raised up house, and I was positive it was in Florida. And they never did the drawing. I don't know who won, and I can't seem to find it. Now I'm thinking maybe I was, like, dreaming it, because there was another house in Florida that was really nice, but it was West Coast. And technically it was I think it was more central, actually, but it was off of a lake. It wasn't off of the ocean or the Gulf. And so, but it was more central, but it was further west than east. So this other house, it's more like towards the east coast. I think it was closer to A1A. And I can't for the life of me find it. And it was like this raised up house. And all I think about when I look at these houses is like, what kind of fabulous studio can I have there? You know, because they usually come with like a minimum of 3 bedrooms. So I'm always kind of like, I could go there. I could be there. I could do that. So, you know, it's one of those, do I want to go there? Of course, because I know I'm going to win them, right? Because I keep on applying, but you never know, right? Is there a fix? Is the fix in? I don't know. How does that work? The last one that they did the drawing on, this woman won who actually worked for them, you know? And I was like, now, how... That doesn't set a good precedent. It's like, how did that happen? Oh, well, she kept applying. Well, you know what? I do my application. I do it every single day fastidiously for the amount of weeks that they do. And they get thousands, hundreds of thousands of applicants, I know. But the chances of somebody in-house winning, See what I'm saying? You see how that works? You see how that goes? Yeah, anyway. So I saw this thing online, changing subject now, about the auroras and what they look like from space. And they're really quite beautiful, and they're really green. I don't know why there's so many green auroras. I don't know what it is, what type of gas makes it green. But I always remembered seeing them in the blues and the purples and occasionally the reds. But it's really interesting because I haven't been able to find them in the blues. And I keep looking, but I'm not seeing it. So I was looking at this thing online from, it wasn't the space weather. It was from, I think it was NASA. And they were showing, you know, what it looks like from outer space looking down. Now, does everybody remember the Concorde plane? Well, the thing about the Concorde was it flew so high up in the atmosphere. I think it was like close to 60,000 feet. And the unique thing, now I never flew on that, but the unique thing about the Concorde was that when you looked down, you know, to view the Earth and the landscape and everything else, it's not like you're 40,000 feet, which is still pretty high. But looking down, you're still seeing state by state, you know. It's not like you're so far out that you're looking at a continent or actually being able to see continent by continent. You're still looking at state to state, you know. So the thing about the Concorde that was really unique was that when you looked out, you could actually see the curve of the Earth. That's really cool because we don't fly high enough in regular airplanes to see the curvature. You just see a straight line. It's like the unique thing about the Concorde. So it would get up higher altitude-wise, and then it could fly faster. So I wonder what that was like turbulent-wise, if there was any kind of resistance. And I wonder what happened to the Concorde. I mean, nobody flies it anymore. It's just, you know, I know aerodynamics has come such a long way that what used to take like 7 hours is now a 5-hour trip. You know, so I remember what it would be like. I think the first time ever to fly to like Hawaii from New York, it was never nonstop. It was like usually 2 flights. You could fly to California and then fly to Hawaii, and it would be like 7 and 7. So it's close to 14 hours, or maybe it was 7 and 6. But now it's like 5 and 5, and it's just getting to California so much faster. It's like if they could, the idea is the faster you could go, why not go that way, right? So it's like when you get on a plane, this is my favorite thing. You get on a plane and they tell you, okay, this is the takeoff time, this is the landing time. It only takes X amount of time to actually fly, but they always give you an hour, because what if you're not first on the runway? What if there's a weather problem? What if there's some kind of a jam up where there's, you know, a something, whatever, that's going to delay your takeoff or your landing? So I flew Delta recently, and I know that I talked about this already, but the funny thing is that they got in like 45 minutes early. But the thing was, it wasn't about it getting in 45 minutes early. It was speculated in the time frame. They just arrived early on the other side of it, rather than spinning around and waiting to get on time and land. So they just got in, and, you know. So if you could go as fast as you could go to get somewhere, wouldn't you go that speed in general? That's all I'm saying. So I think they stopped flying the Concorde because jets could go faster now. So maybe they streamlined it. Maybe they changed something. Maybe they fly higher. Who knows? Some kind of something in that, right? I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, just, you know, that's the way it goes. So looking at the history, when I was in the in Carnegie Hall last night, they have a little museum. It's really just one room with historical information about Carnegie Hall and who's played there and what the performances were and, you know, all these various different just the history of performances. So I love that they call it a museum. And their gift shop is like maybe the size of my hallway when you walk into my apartment. It's just a long, narrow space. And basically all they're showing, you know, all they're selling is like, it's not even memorabilia. The coolest thing that they were selling were the conductor wands. That was kind of neat. I didn't buy one because what am I going to do with that, right? Not signed by anybody. I don't conduct, so I really don't need it. But it's like you walk through and they have mugs and pencils and, you know, it's kind of, you know, kitschy. I guess, you know, you're a tourist. You want to go in. Oh, I'm going to buy this. Oh, why do I need that? Why not? Because I'm in New York. It's Carnegie Hall. Okay. But the museum area was kind of cool. So it's this big room. It's like a waiting area. And we were watching various different performances. And so my friend turned the volume up on the television, and now everybody gathered around to watch the 2 or 3 minute clip of all the shows that were on their DVD that's lined up, you know. And we were talking about the resolution. And, you know, you think about it, it's like the technology wasn't so good that you could get some really good resolution and footage of whoever was performing. So the reason we turned it up in the first place was because it was Lucille Ball and Julie Andrews, and they were singing and performing together, and that was, oh, excuse me, it was not Lucille Ball. It was Carol Burnett and Julie Andrews. Sorry, my bad. So, and it's really funny because you're looking at it, and they're showing you the date, and it was a long time ago, and I have to say that it's like, Julie Andrews always looked like Julie Andrews regardless. But Carol Burnett, when she was younger, she had this, like, gawky stage. And it's like you look at it and you're like, oh, I know who that is. But it's like you can see that gawky stage. It's like when you see my picture when I was 11, had that moment of gawkiness where I'm like going, oh, my God, is that really me? You changed that change. Because from the time I was born until I was, like, 10, I looked exactly the same. And then 11 was that, like, little gawky moment. And then, like, from 12 to now, I still look exactly the same. And I look exactly the way I did when I was, like, 0 to 10. So funny, I know. But it's, like, recognizable face. I'm not saying that my face is exactly the same, but it's the same. You know what I'm saying? I think I understand. I understand this. I can explain this in detail if you really want to get into this. But it's just like you look at a picture and you say, oh, my God, you look the same. It's so funny. So it's like that moment, that 5 second, that one picture, that height, that school picture that they posed you and they say, okay, we're going to take this picture. Obviously, I wasn't in high school at 11. But it was just that one picture. It's like you have these pictures every single year I love all the ones where you're hugging the tree. It, the funny thing is that to hug a tree is a wonderful experience, and it feels amazing, and we should do it all the time because you just really feel connected to the earth. And I do hug trees. I'm a tree hugger from way back when. But when you're like five and you're in camp and they take a picture, they make you stand by a tree. I don't know what the relevance is. Well, this is how short you are next to how tall the tree is. I don't know. A wooden background, nature, I don't know. I don't know who started that. I don't know where that came from. But it makes me laugh. So they always put your, like, put your arm against the tree, put your hand on the tree, and then look at the camera. I have so many pictures like that. That as I got older, now I just hug the tree, take a picture hugging a tree. So it's really funny. I was with an ex in DR, and I remember saying, let's take pictures, and I found a palm tree that I liked. I said, stand by the tree. So I was like, stand by the tree, and I'll take your picture. And then I gave her the camera, and I said, you take the picture of me now next to the tree. It was very funny. And then somebody was, some random stranger was walking by, and I said, excuse me, could you take a picture of us by the tree? It was just, this makes me laugh, because while I keep thinking about it, it's like something that's ingrained, you know? It's muscle memory. Oh, I have to remember to stand by the tree. I need a size reference. So I have something in the background that, like, I don't know, dynamically breaks up the picture. No, it splits the picture in half long ways. It's not a dynamic. It's very funny. Oh, I think that's so great. So whenever I travel, if I've gone out to dinner and walking back to whatever hotel, if I've had a little too much to drink, I hug the tree. And I'll say, oh, you might as well take a picture of me hugging the tree. Now, there's a really big, funny story that goes along with that, but at this moment, I think I will have to say I will pass on telling it because, I don't know, you never know who's listening, right? Anyway, so there you have it. So I finished another painting. Now, I know I mentioned this already because it's been done and it's been drying and it's been in my studio. But I'm not ready to start the next painting, although I have to say that I already have seen it. I know what it looks like. I just have no idea how to approach painting it. I know that sounds, well, it's normal for me. That's the way that goes. And all I'm thinking is, like, I'm back at that same point where I have to start looking for another space. Now, I really don't want to move. And my new objective is to figure out a way to stay either where I am or at least in that location, that vicinity. So I have to say that it's just like this stress of having to always look every year for something is really not pleasant. That's why if I won the HGTV home giveaway, I would turn one of the rooms, one of the big rooms, into the studio. And then I would say, oh, the heck with it, I'm done. I'd get a new car, get rid of that piece of garbage I have a new car, have a new home, and just decide, okay, well, I'm going to live wherever the heck they put me. Not in Michigan. No Michigas. I don't know. It's too cold in Michigan. I'm not a big fan of Michigan. I spent time in Michigan. I've done my time. I don't want to go to Michigan. But I don't know. What happens if you win the HGTV home and that's where it is? I mean, can you sell it? You can't really sell it. You probably could sell it. I don't know. You can sell anything, right? Isn't there a market for everything? You know, there is. Apparently I'm not in that market because if I were, every one of my paintings would be sold by now. That would be a good thing. Yeah, okay, let's not go there. That's not so pleasant. Anyway, so something kind of funky happened with my cat this week. And it was kind of early in the morning. What was it? Monday. So Monday morning, I wake up. And I like to read in bed. So I usually spend a good half hour just reading in bed in the morning, somewhere between 7:30 and 8:30. And then I get up leisurely. And then I put up the coffee, I drink my water, I feed the kitty. And then I jump in the shower. That's pretty much how my morning routine goes. And it's really funny because no matter how early I get up, it doesn't matter. I never get out of the house early. And so the morning is always gone really quickly. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am not a morning person unless I go away. So if I'm on vacation, then I utilize every second of that time. And if I'm going to, you know, have some R&R, it's going to be on the beach or it's going to be somewhere out of doors, not in the hotel room. So I usually get up really early and then go and do my day. So relaxing is usually somewhere in the middle of the day, sort of like the Europeans. You know, I love the idea of the siesta after lunch, you know, because I want to be awake all night and I want to get up super early. So I want to see the sunrise and I want to see the sunset and I want to go dancing. By the way, I've gone dancing. And I have to say, I have to build up my stamina again. It's been way too long. So anyway, so I get up Monday morning. I get up, and then I'm reading in bed. And I wake up. I'm reading in bed, and my kitty, you know, gives out some kind of a cry that I've never heard. So I get up, and I run into the living room, and he's laying on the floor. And he's, like, not getting up. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? So I think he had, like, a fast fever, something like really crazy, and I just picked him up and held him, and then I was like, I don't know, just hanging out with him, and the next thing I knew, it passed. Whatever it was, it freaked me out big time, I'm not going to lie. But it was like just the whole idea of that little incident. He's never been sick, that's me knocking on wood, ever. And thank God, you know, I don't ever want anything to happen to him. I don't ever want him to be sick. I don't ever want him to be uncomfortable. I don't ever want him to be wanting for anything. I will always take good care of him. But I have to tell you, that kind of freaked me out. So actually this week, some point, and the week is already kind of, oh, we're in the middle of the week. Never mind. I'm definitely going to have to call my sister-in-law, who's the vet, and have a chat, because she, of all, would know. Anyway, pretty crazy, but, 90 seconds, that was so fast. That's probably one of the fastest shows that I've done. And I have to tell you, seriously, I was trying to get online to upload an older show, so I wasn't going to do today's show, because there's a lot going on, and I'm not even, like, ready to walk out the door yet, because cable came, like, an hour early, was here for, like, an hour and a half, and, of course, they never bring a ladder. What's that about? They always need a ladder. They never bring a ladder. I always have to give them my step stool, and I have to tell you, I step on that barefoot, and they're putting their shoes and their boots on my step stool. And I didn't remember to wash the step stool. I just threw it back in the closet. But I loved him telling me that the fitter that was on the outside was the wrong size fitter. I'm like going, you know, I didn't go out there and watch him, but the knocking and the banging that he was doing out there, he could have just been taking something and banging it on the wall for all I know and not doing anything and then coming back 10 minutes later or whatever and saying, okay, it's all good now. Right? Wouldn't that be the way? That's the way, right? Oh, Okay, I fixed it. Yeah, what did you do? Well, I had to change this, and I had to upgrade that, and yeah. Do I really believe you? Not so much. So I cannot believe that it is the 26th of October. Wow. So I have to say a very quick happy birthday to my good friend and artist. And I call her Tina, but it's not. It's V. Happy birthday. We're having a little get-together for Sunday for her. I've already RSVP'd yes, and now it's sort of looking like I might not even make it. But anyway, happy birthday, and many, many, many happy returns. So lots of birthdays, actually. Anyway, this just... Well, I have a lot of friends that have birthdays on holidays. I am one of those. I'm not my friend, but I guess I am my own friend, right? But my birthday is Memorial Day, so we have lots of holidays that we have that just, well, that's the way that goes, right? I remember that there was a moment there where We used to always get together. It would be all the people having their holiday birthdays. Anyway, so hers is Halloween, obviously. So, but the party's going to be the day before. Anywho, so there you have it. And all I can say is go and hug a tree, keep warm, dress warm, and dress warmly. Be warm, keep warm, hug a tree, and have a fabulous, safe Halloween. And thanks for listening. This is Lisa Lisa of The Lisa Lisa Show. By the way, Kitty is fine. Thank you. Thank God. All right. Have a great day. Bye.